Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being with us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, it seems that you're giving a lot of signs of impending judgment, a judgment that the righteous will be preserved through and will escape, and that the wicked will not. And Lord, these little signs that are coming up make us think, many of us think, that this is something in the very near future. So, Lord, we ask you to give us wisdom today from the things that we put together for people to think this out. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, saints. I'll just start out from a few little signs we've been receiving. We've received some words about this coming month, early in this coming month. I'll just share those with you. By the way, it's possible that Jesus was born on September the 11th, which is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, it's called in some circles, which is the beginning of the civil Jewish year. It's the beginning of 10 days of awe in order to prepare souls for the Day of Atonement, which is 10 days after the 10 days. And so we're thinking about this. I mean, it's obviously just full of signs and symbols. The days of awe were considered to be days of repentance, which also could have been days of judgment. And as you know, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, has been traditionally a day of judgment. The Yom Kippur War, for instance, you know, and others. So, with that in mind, let me just share some of the words that we've been receiving in our morning prayer meeting. We receive these all by through faith and at random. And so many times they come together and make just an awesome picture, as you know, that you that have followed us a while. Well, Pam got Ezra 3, 1 through 7. And when the seventh month come, well, the seventh month is Tisri. It is the evening of September the 10th, 2018. To the evening of September the 11th, 2018. So that's very close. And the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel. You remember he was the one who was the head and the man-child type who was leading the people to rebuild the house of God. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon. Burnt offerings would be a time of sacrifice, I would say, of the old flesh, symbolically. You know, 10 days of awe could be leading to that. Or something could happen on September the 11th even. But I'll leave that up to you to look at the evidence that we've got. I'm sure that you may have more. That's one reason I'm sharing this, is I might hear a lot more from people. To offer burnt offerings thereon. Of course, the most important burnt offering to us as priests is our old flesh. Sacrifice your flesh. 10 days of awe seem to be a time of a sacrificing your flesh in order that you will have an atonement at the end. Atonement means a covering for your sins, right? And it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar up upon its base, for fear was upon them because of the peoples of the countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. So, you know, sacrificing of the flesh, a humbling of oneself, could be fasting, could be other kinds of sacrifices, you know, symbolically. But it was this time coming at us right now. And it says because of the peoples of the countries, because you can see out there the wicked are very much opposing the righteous in the political realm and also in the church realm. And have no fear. We read the end and we win. So, verse 4, and they kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offering by number according to the ordinance, as the duty of every day required. And afterwards the continual burnt offering, and the offering of the new moons, and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, which that's the beginning, that is Rosh Hashanah, that is the beginning that I spoke about, September the 10th through the 11th on 2018, from the first day of the seventh month. So we got this seventh month several times in words that we've received, and we're feeling that the Lord is saying, hey, judgment is coming, and it may begin in the seventh month. So this is the first day of the seventh month, which is the beginning of their civil year. And many people, as I've said, if you go and look online, you can say Jesus born on September the 11th, and you'll just see a lot of stuff come up. Because it's very possible that that's true. But, you know, he's a type of the man-child. And September the 11th could be a symbol of the birth of the man-child. Okay, so the first day of the seventh month, again, September 10th through 11th, 2018, began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Well, it's interesting that the man-child Zerubbabel is mentioned here, and he was the one that started the building, and it didn't start, obviously, on the first day of his birth, or birthing out of Babylon. Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. So it obviously didn't start on the first day, but the first day would be very significant if you're born out of Babylon, right? And you can read that story in Haggai, right? They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and food and drink and oil unto them of Sidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea unto Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus the king of Persia. A grant from our Cyrus king of Persia. And I've believed for quite some time that Trump was going to have something to do with supplying the needs of rebuilding the temple of God. And I'm not sure, but it could have something to do with the RV. You know, Obama opposed it because it would have enriched so many Christians. And I think Trump is just the opposite. We also are heading into a time where the RV could give the economy a shot in the arm, too. So I don't know. I'm not an expert on this. I believe that the RV is coming. I believe it's a preparation for a change in the economic system. And anyway, so I point that out to you, and I'll just share a verse that fits this right now, and then I'm going to go on back to what I was talking about. But Merlin received Ezra 6:1-5. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the archives where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found Achmetha in the palace that is in the province of Media, a roll therein, and it was thus written for a record. In the first year of Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be built, the place where they offer sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly built. The height thereof 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 courses of great stones and a course of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. So there 'tis again. My goodness. In some kind of a way, Cyrus, who we believe is Trump, is going to really promote the expenses of building the house of God. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem and brought unto Babylon, be restored. Well, we know who the gold and silver vessels of the house of God is. The house of God is not a physical building made with men's hands. It is the people of God. And the silver vessels that have been taken into captivity into Babylon are going to be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, it says here, every one to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. That verse 5 there would come to me over and over many times when I open my Bible and stick my finger down. I got that so many times I quit making a note in the margin, because he knows that the Lord knows that our job is to bring people out of Babylon and restore them to the temple of God. So then, just remembering the one I just spoke about on September 10th and 11th, the first day of the seventh month, the seventh month was again shown to us. Debbie got this verse, 2 Chronicles 5:1-7. Thus all the work that Solomon wrought for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things that David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and all the vessels, and put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Well, so God is reemphasizing this, that the people are going to come out of captivity and go into the house of God. That is, those who are elect. There are many people who went into captivity that are just going to die there. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all of the heads of the tribes, the princes of the fathers' houses of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is in Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king at the feast, which is in the seventh month, which is, of course, September the 10th through October the 10th, 2018. The seventh month, to do what? To bring the Ark of the Covenant, and do what with it? And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark, the tent of the meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. These did the priests, the Levites, bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto them were before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted for number or multitude, and the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto its place in the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Okay, the ark of the covenant enters into the temple. That's pretty interesting. You know, there is going to be an earthly temple for the ark, which I believe is Jesus, to enter into. You remember Malachi's words, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. You know, Jesus came to a temple, a body thou hast prepared for me, he said. God prepared a temple for the Son of God, and it was a son of David. And so that's a type and a shadow for the larger thing that's about to happen, you know. So just remember Pam's word that I shared first, that it applies very closely to this, the seventh month. This is something that's going to happen in the seventh month. Okay, is it going to naturally happen? I don't know in the seventh month, but the seventh month is what we're coming to. And as you heard in our last broadcast, there are dreams out there that are pointing to a judgment that God's people are going to escape. And I suspect it's the people in the temple that are going to escape. So Denny got, and again, I'm going to remind you, Malachi said, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." So Denny got, when the ark brought into the temple, is the context by which he got this verse, 2 Chronicles 6:40-42. "Now, O my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place," there it is, "thou and the ark of thy strength," into its resting place, which is what? The Holy of Holies in the temple. I mean, why are we getting this? Obviously, God's giving it to us, you know. "Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember thy loving kindness to David thy servant." And I believe that this is mentioned here because this is the temple in which the Lord came in. He was a representation of the man-child. And what did he say? "Arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength." So we've known that the Lord is coming, not in the way that the worldly church is saying, but he's coming in his people. First in the first fruits, which is the man-child company, and the bride company, and then from there into the church during the tribulation period. So let me say that the expected new moon date for the seventh month of Tishri is Monday, September 10th/11th, which is the Feast of Trumpets and the beginning of the 10 days of awe leading to atonement. You need to have an atonement. Or you may not live through the things that are coming, you know. At any rate, that's the expected, and that's all done by, you know, synchronization of calendars for each new month. And that would be seen from the Temple Mountain in Jerusalem. It's the lunar phase software that they use that can pinpoint the moon's position and the phase at any time from any latitude or longitude on Earth. In some cases, they don't match the dates determined by Jewish rabbis. They're not very far, usually. of course, the new moon determines this. But this is a way to determine before that time, and it's usually not very far off. And there are other ways, of course, to the agricultural way to reckon the dates. And of course, the Hebrew biblical calendar day begins and ends at dusk, right? So, let me share something else here. That 10th day, let me just say, Yom Teruah, it was long before Rosh Hashanah, you know, the head of the month, right? Yom Teruah means a day of shouting. And it's mentioned in some passages. Here I'm going to give a Jewish background text that they've used. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, will be a day of rest, or a Sabbaton. For you, a remembrance shouting. Shouting happened on that day. Yom Teruah. Or Rosh Hashanah, if you will. Feast of Trumpets, if you will. The beginning of the 10 days of awe. Shouting. He goes on to say, A holy convocation. You shall do no work, and you will bring a fire sacrifice to Jehovah. Okay. You shall do no work. Well, I got obviously the 10 days of awe being a preparation for a covering, you know, the atonement, a covering. There should be repentance there. And what are we repenting of? We're repenting of our own works. Okay, so that fits. And here's another text. Numbers, that was Leviticus 23:23-25, and this is Numbers 29:1-6. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, will be a holy convocation for you. You shall do no work. It will be a day of shouting for you. Wonder if, just again, I'm wondering out loud here. I'm not trying to make any particular days or anything, but if September the 11th is the birth of the man-child, would that be something to shout about? It would. Of course, it could be a sign of something to come, because many times signs come ahead of the manifestation. Like the 10 days of awe or repentance comes before the Day of Atonement. How is atonement or covering applied to the individual except through repentance? There's people that are not going to listen to repentance, the call for repentance. This is the spirit of John the Baptist before the sacrifice. And as you know, on the Day of Atonement, Israel has gotten some pretty good whippings because they weren't ready. Because they really didn't have a covering. And we know the true covering is Jesus. And I just got this from Missy. It's kind of interesting. I asked the Lord for a word of correction or encouragement this morning, and he gave me this with my finger on Philistines. Well, you know the Philistines, the Palestinians, are enemies of Israel, fighting against them to do everything they can to destroy them. And there's a lot of hatred there, and it really well parallels our faction and the faction in the government. You know, it really well parallels that. The faction against the righteous, right? So here's the verse, 1 Samuel 17:52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, oh my goodness, there it is, and pursued the Philistines until thou comest to Gai and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. Okay. And she, you know, asked the Lord if she should send this to me, and she got two heads for yes, and she asked should she tell me that this is about the faction, and she got yes again with two heads. So, yes, I do believe there is a conquering of the faction. Let me say this. When David came into authority, let's say the birth of the man-child, he conquered the faction. He put garrisons in their cities he controlled. Yeah. So Missy sent this on the 28th, I believe. She said, I dreamed that David and I were face to face. Well, she doesn't live here, but she comes here sometimes once a month for a few days. I dreamed that David and I were face to face, and We've asked, and she's supposed to be here from September the 6th through the 13th. 11th is right in there, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that this might not be something in the future. We can't prove that, you know, but I'm just kind of throwing it in with the other hints that we're looking at here, you know. And, of course, that includes the 11th, 6th through the 13th, right? And we weren't talking on the phone. It was face-to-face. And he said to me in a calm voice, "Jesus is at the door now." Whoa. At the door now. So this must be just before the coming of the Lord in the way we've been talking about, manifesting first in the man-child and then through the man-child to the bride and then through the bride to the church. That's what the Bible teaches. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, John said about Jesus and the first fruits bride that was following him and learning from him and getting an anointing from him and going to carry it out and give it to the fivefold ministry and on and on and on. Yeah. Well, she said, right after that, as I woke up, my alarm clock went off. Well, alarm could mean get ready to avoid judgment, as in the last dreams that we shared. Yeah, fairly interesting, right? Well, when that was shared, Shalonda spoke up. She works for a food club, I believe it is. And she said she was ringing up a man's salad that he was buying, and it was 111. That's interesting. And when she rang up his total, it was 911. Both of those are man-child birth numbers. Isn't that interesting? So little hints we're getting here. We don't know, you know, exactly if we can't predict a date of the man-child and the coming of the tribulation. I would suspect the birth of the man-child ministry may not start necessarily with judgment, but it could. 911 is a number of judgment, right? So, you know, 111, I mean, yeah, Jesus is 111 times 8, you know. Christ is 111 times 12. The birth of Jesus Christ thus was 111 times 49. It's always divisible. And she was found in womb by, that was 111 by 11. And you just go on and on and on. Her begotten, 111 times 8. And you know Jesus' number is 8. Her begotten of the Spirit is holy, 111 times 28. And she will bear a son, 111 times 11. And 11 can sometimes mean judgment, right? She will bear a son, 111 times 11. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The gematria is 111 times 27. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. She bore a son and called his name, 111 times 24. You know, she will bear, 111 times 4. So the gematria is pointing out that 111 is a symbol of the coming of the Lord, the birth of the Lord. How awesome. So, and during this time, Gordon Bornman, you know, wrote up a writing of things he loves to put together, charts and things, you know, and compare dates and look at their connections and so on and so forth. Does a great job of that. And I'm sure it takes an awful lot of time. So he sent this to me. First, he says, judgment appears to begin by September the 11th, 2018. But he gives us this red note. He said, this is not a prophecy. This is an analysis of recent prophetic words that point to the period of 9:10:18 through 9:12:18. That should give some people some specifics with which to pray and to confirm or negate with the Lord. Okay, so that's, of course, what we do. We're not trying to prophesy a date here. He said, in summary, we at UBM have known for a long time that the latter rain will fall amidst coincident great judgment. Yes. And the prophecy by Byron Searle, we received that a while back and looked at it carefully, called Cry Repent, about judgment starting within 30 days, is given on August 12, 2018, with a deadline for judgment to start at 9/11/18. So he said within 30 days, and that ended up to be 9/11/18. And note that Rosh Hashanah is expected to start the night of September the 10th, 2018, assuming Jerusalem has clear weather to sight it. If not, it's September the 11th, okay? And Rosh Hashanah is one of the expected dates of Jesus' manifestation in the man-child ministry. So we talked about that before. So the glory would coincide with judgment. And according to the video, The Star, Jesus was born on what would be now September the 11th, which to us is a judgment day, right? And all of the key judgments since 2001, 17 years ago to the day, preservation through judgment, which is an article we have on the site, have centered around September the 11th. So God gives 17 years of preservation after the seventh millennial day starts, and then judgment begins as the latter rain falls on the man-child. Now, here's one of his charts. Now, it's very hard to describe a chart over the air, you know, but it's a linear chart. 9/11/90, when George H.W. Bush gave his New World Order speech. 11/11/99, the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed. And he had a sign that was given to him, a vertigo sign that happened to him several times, that he calculated to mean to bring in time frames together. And 9/11/01, which was the attacks, right? And 3/11/04, the Madrid train bombing. So you can see 11 is a significant number. And then 11/10/06, the second vertigo sign. And then 9/11/08, economic sabotage trigger. And then 11/12/10 is the third vertigo sign. That's 3/11/11, Japan's 9.0 earthquake. And 9/11/12, Benghazi attack. And then 3/11/15, and that was in the future at that time. Of course, that's in the future. And then there's 7-year periods that join all these together. And I'm going to go on, though. I'm going to look at the 7-year period. You know, they begin on an 11 and end on 11 and all these things. Just so you can see it's not accidental. But I'm going to go on down and take the time to read Cry Repent by Byron Searle. Now, I don't know a lot about Byron Searle. He's kind of a new person that's coming on the scene. I just listened to him one time, and he seemed, genuine. So he gave this verse before his prophecy, Jeremiah 17:23. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff. that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Well, I wouldn't want to be going towards the Day of Atonement like that. I really wouldn't even be want to go towards the day of September the 11th like that, because as Gordon pointed out, the birth of the man-child seems to be in the midst of some kind of turmoil and judgment, and we've been receiving dreams about it, how that the righteous are going to escape it. They're going to flee, but they're going to escape it. So here's the transcript of Byron Searles. He said, "My son, my church has been attacked, and many are in willful sin, yet they think it is all right. My people do not ask for forgiveness, and if they do, they do not repent and turn from that sin." This is true. We're seeing people out there that God actually threw out of His church by reprobation, and they are in the worst kinds of sin and hatred and unforgiveness towards God's people, and the whole problem is they were in sin, you know. Okay, sin fills the house of the Lord, yet they inside the house do not feel the tug of the Holy Spirit to repent. Their hearts are hardened. The desire to read my word has left them as they slowly go down the path of rejection. And as they sin more, they move farther away from me. Soon they have drifted away, yet still going to church to continue the act. My son, this is why I have placed upon you the burden to cry, repent to a church you has drifted far from me. Soon the judgments will be upon the world, and those who have not repented will grow more and more hardened to the calling of my Spirit. They will hear the word repent, but they will not feel the need to repent. And while the words I give you and hold nothing back, many will not receive the words I give you, for they will be hard words to wake the comatose church. My judgments will begin in earnest within the next 30 days. So Gordon already pointed out that the 30 days ends on September the 11th. Seek me daily, and I will give you what to say. Continue using the media that you have been using, but in time all will end. Yes. My son, these people who call themselves Christians are so blind to sin, but I can open their eyes and soften their hearts and bring them back before the end. Those my Father has given me, and I will not give up or lose. I love you, and I am coming soon. And Gordon's note here, this prophecy about judgment starting within 30 days is given on August the 12th, 2018, with a deadline for judgment to start at 9/11/18. Note that Rosh Hashanah is expected to start the night of September the 10th, 2018, assuming Jerusalem has clear weather to cite it. Rosh Hashanah is one of the expected dates of the Jesus manifestation in the man-child ministry, so the glory would coincide with judgment according to the video called The Star. Jesus was born on what would be now September the 11th. All of the key judgments since 2001, 17 years ago to the day, preservation through judgment, which is our article, have centered around September the 11th. Okay. So, let me see. What else can I share with you? I think I will share the birth of Jesus and the Day of Trumpets. I'll just share a portion of it with you. I don't agree with everybody's conclusions, you know, but there's information that's very interesting. And I'm forgetting the guy's name now. Let me click on something here. Okay, Ernest Martin. Ernest Martin. Okay. The birth of Jesus and the Day of Trumpets. The historical evidence that I have presented in this book shows that Jesus was born in the year 3 BCE, it appears most probable that a late summer birth in 3 BCE has the best credentials. I need not rehearse my reasons for this, but they are very strong. He's not believing in the Christmas date, and I don't think anybody that's ever studied the Bible is going to agree with the Christmas date. It's the birth of the Greek gods, or is it the Roman gods? I forget. But anyway, it's, you know, doesn't have anything really to do with the birth of Jesus. And besides, the shepherds that were in the field on his birth, they wouldn't be in the field in the middle of winter, and so on. Many reasons. Indeed, the evidence from the priestly courses alone suggests that a September nativity is the most likely. This gives a pretty close approximation that most scholars would probably accept as reasonable. But now we come to the nitty-gritty to propose an early evening birth on September the 11th, 3 BCE. Appears almost impossible to believe, but to get that close to his time of birth might at first seem to be fanciful. The fact is, however, I can state without a shadow of a doubt that the celestial scene described by the Apostle John in Revelation 12:1-5, if viewed astronomically, would center precisely on a new moon date within mid-September, and that in 3 BCE, that exactly celestial phenomena would have occurred in the early evening of September the 11th. I can also state with assurance that the sundown on September 11th, 3 BCE, was also the beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Trumpets. Now, he points out Revelation 12:1-5, and we know that that is a fulfillment of Jesus' ministry. It is not Jesus' ministry, but if it's a fulfillment, then it could be using the same date, right? We know that the man-child ministry is Jesus coming in a body of people. Just like the rest of the book of Revelation is made up of bodies of people. The bride is a body of people. The harlot is a body of people. The beast is a body of people. The two witnesses, whether you believe it or not, they're a body of people. Okay, so on and on, all of those. So, but they're following in the prophecy that is given, for instance, in John, where Jesus said that he was coming again as a baby born to a woman, and that we would see him again. And, of course, you look for that all the way until you get to Revelation 12, and there he is. Praise the Lord, and he is coming. No, not in the air, not to take a pre-tribulation rapture church. No, not going to happen. He is coming, like he said, first as an epiphany, and then as a parousia. First as a glowing forth from his people, and only then is he coming for his people, because he has to live in his people. Right? There's no one that ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That's Jesus. Who's going to heaven? Jesus. And Jesus is the Word made flesh, manifested in his body. The Word. You want to bear fruit? Sow the seed of the Word in your heart, as the parable of the sower clearly says. Right? So that exact celestial phenomenon would have occurred in the early evening of September 11th. And I can also state with assurance that the sundown on September 11th, 3 BCE, was also the beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Trumpets. Even if the Apostle John were only giving the symbolic time for Jesus' nativity and not the actual, we are provided with a great deal of insight on how early Christians interpreted significant periods of time on the holy calendar of Israel. And if Jesus were actually born on Rosh Hashanah, or the Day of Trumpets, in 3 BCE, a most impressive astronomical panorama of events burst forth on the scene that would have awed and astonished most Jewish people who lived at the time. Truly, this is not an exaggeration. So the importance of the Day of Trumpets. Look at the celestial events that occurred around Rosh Hashanah, date of September 11th in 3 BCE, exactly 1 month before, on August the 12th, the world would have witnessed the close conjunction of Jupiter, reckoned astrologically as the father, and Venus, the mother, when they were only 0.07 degrees from one another, when they appeared as morning stars on the eastern horizon. This was a very close union. But then, 19 days later, August the 31st, Venus came to within 0.36 degrees of Mercury in a very similar astronomical display. And then on September 11th, the new moon occurred, which represented the Jewish New Year. And this happened when Jupiter, the king planet, was then approaching Regulus, the king star. And on September the 14th, Jupiter and Regulus came to their first of three conjunctions in this extraordinary year. Then over an eight-month period, Jupiter made its crowning effect over the king star Regulus. There could hardly have been a better astronomical testimony to the birth of the new messianic king from the Jewish point of view. Why? Because every one of these celestial occurrences I have mentioned happened with the sun or planets being positioned within the constellation of Leo and Leo the Lion, the constellation of Judah from whence the Messiah was destined to emerge. Or in Virgo, the Virgin. The Apostle John may have seen importance in these extraordinary occurrences when he symbolically showed that Jesus was born at the new moon of Tishri, which is the seventh month, not the first month, the seventh month, on the Day of Trumpets, and he gives Revelation 12, 1 through 3. However, as I said, Revelation 12 is the end-time manifestation of the coming of Jesus to preserve his people through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Yes, and it's a very big picture. It was a very small picture in Jesus' day, and he, in that body, individual body, could only reach the natural Israel. And now, in his much larger body, he can reach spiritual Israel, which is worldwide. So that's the reason. And our beast is bigger now, too. It's all seven heads, all seven world-ruling empires, and their seed in one body called the beast, and it is the UN. So, as you see, as time goes on, the picture gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So Jesus was born on the Day of Trumpets, he speaks here. If one can realize that the New Testament shows Jesus born on the Day of Trumpets, the first day of Tishri, the start of the Jewish civil year, on an impressive amount of symbolic features emerge on the biblical and prophetic scenes. Before the period of the Exodus in the time of Moses, this was the day that began the biblical year. It also looks like this was the day when people were advanced 1 year of life. No matter at what month the year they were actually born. Notice that the patriarch Noah became 600 years of age in the first month of Tishri, right? The first day of the month, later to be called the Day of Trumpets. In Genesis 8 and 13, that was the very day when, quote, Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In other words, the judgment was over. This was not only Noah's official birthday, it became a new birth after the flood for the earth as well. I'm not going to go into any more of that. You can do the research if you want to, if you've got time to, and so on and so forth. So I'm already running out of time. Let's see, what else do I need to share? Oh, gosh. I'm not going to have time to share that. Let's see about this. Nope. Well, Maybe we just better pray. Anyway, pray about a soon coming of judgment on America, as we shared in our last broadcast, something that we believe is going to be released by the deep state on America. And but that the Lord will use, much like he used Pharaoh's attack on the children of Israel at the Red Sea to destroy himself, and Sennacherib's attack upon the bride, Jerusalem, on himself, and the northern army attack on Jerusalem, the bride, and in Joel chapter 2, on themselves. They came with a plan to destroy God's people, and instead they were destroyed. And I'm including in these people their factious government and the factious church. The Lord is bringing an end to the faction against his people. Their crucifixion is almost over at the hands of these wicked people. And, of course, by the grace of God, we believe that the Lord is going to get some fruit out of this. Some people who are humbled and will submit to the true leadership and will have the fear of the Lord upon them, and all these necessary things. You see, God is doing a work both in the bride, the man-child, and the faction. Some people went into faction to humble them and to bring them into submission. Of course, the bride and the man-child needed to be crucified to get prepared to start this tribulation in order to raise up the church to its former glory, even greater than its former glory, but at least to its former government that was given in the days when Jesus sent out the apostles, right? He's restoring the government in order to restore the people, in order to get them ready after 3.5 years of education for the beast to make war on them. You see, the same thing that has happened to the bride and the man-child before the tribulation is going to happen to the church when the tribulation starts, because everybody's got to be crucified. And there's a lot of stubborn and rebellious people among God's people, and he uses somebody to put them on the cross. And yes, their church is not going to escape this cross. They've refused it and hid from it all these years. And God is going to make sure that that doesn't happen any longer, because we're coming to the end. And God's people have to be sanctified. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, contrary to what they think. Without holiness, same word for sanctification, hagiosmos. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. God loves his people, even his rebellious people. And he wants to bring them to a desired end and a good end. Chastening will restore the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, so that they can have more wisdom. Right? It's the beginning of wisdom. Let favor be showed to the wicked. He will not learn righteousness. He will deal wrongfully in the land of the living, right? So, but God is wise, and he also is loving, and he knows he's dealing with clay here. He knows he's dealing with flesh, and he knows it has to be crucified, right? So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these little hints. We don't know exactly what they mount up to, but they could be pointing to something. And I just share so that other people, too, can give revelations and things that they've received, because they do. People send in lots of stuff to us, and some of it we have time to look at, and we look at it and study it, and wow, you know. And sometimes, Lord, just as you see, we get normal revelations every morning when we pray. The Lord gives us revelations. The first day of the seventh month is one of these revelations. It seems like that might be a beginning right there. We'll see. Of course, September 11th symbolizes something in our minds, so that could be the real revelation. I don't know. So we will see, as I'm fond of saying in these days. We will see. Father, bless us with understanding and wisdom. And Lord, like the 10 days of awe symbolize, to get ready for the atonement, it appears that if a person's under the atonement or covering, they're blessed. And if they're not, they're not blessed. And if they don't repent during the 10 days of awe, they're not blessed. And it's very symbolical of a Passover. You know, because the lamb was the atonement. The lamb was slaughtered. The lamb had to be eaten in order to have an atonement. And so we know that our Lord Jesus is the Word of God. We need to partake of the Word of God, as in the parable of the sower, that the seed of the Word of God is sown in our hearts in order to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. And if we're following down that path of the fruit of Jesus Christ, we'll continue to bear fruit. And if not, we're in stubborn rebellion, following religion and the traditions of men, we will not bear fruit. Not possible. Because the only thing that bears fruit, according to the parable of the sower, is the seed of the Word sown in the heart. So thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. And the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Michael Hare is coming, and we want you to pray that his words will sink into your hearts and help you along the way. In Jesus' name, good night.